Everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
Are you sure the bus is glorious? Monstrosity, yes.
It's made of styrofoam, Doug. I'm actually in an actual vehicle right now, driving on 290.
This sounds safe. Sounds safe.
I think we've done a few of these before. Mark always makes fun of me. The one time we recorded before, I actually went to Dunkin' Donuts and made an order on the show. Do you remember that one? That was a pretty good one. Regardless, I'm actually in a vehicle, so I am driving very slow and very one hand on the wheel. So yeah, it's not a good period for the beloved Bull, DT. And you know what's so weird is like this season has been so bizarre where you've come out as C-Red Doug, and now I just was so sad the other day when I saw that post that you put up where it's all over. And, you know, I guess what's your thoughts, initial thoughts, and why you've changed from C-Red Doug?
Well, I don't know that I ever thought it was going to be super great, right? Like, I just said, like, hey, they look like a mid-40s win type team. And then now they've just lost to, like, three of the worst teams in the league, and they took a miracle to beat one of the other worst teams in the league. And so now that no longer looks true, right? Now they look kind of back to where we thought they were at the beginning of the season, which is probably a, you know, mid to upper 30s win team. And, you know, not like I ever thought they were on championship contention path, but like a 45, 46 win season, you know, where you might win a round in the playoffs because the rest of the teams in the East aren't that good would be like a lot of fun, you know, compared to what we've had in a long time, right? It would have been the most fun we've had in a while. And now this looks a lot more like what we've seen the last few years. There's still a little bit more reason for hope than the last few years, and that at least the team is younger, and you can at least hope guys like Modest develop, and Giddy still playing well in some respects. You know, the defense is not so great, and the shooting's fallen off a little bit. But, you know, you still have some pieces that at least you could say are here more long-term than the previous one that was going to win 38 games, 39 win games, and then be based around all guys in their early to mid 30s. But it's definitely no longer looks like a team you would think could do anything in the playoffs. The book feels very out on us that like we can't protect the rim. You just get into the paint and we can do anything you want. I don't know if you heard, God, I'm blanking on who it was who said it, but it was on the Charlotte Hornets broadcast. They're interviewing one of their players, and he said like for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, you could just do anything you want in the paint against the Bulls because they have no one who can protect the rim. You know, and he is an actual player who said that. It was being interviewed. It was on the Hornets broadcast. It wasn't on the Bulls broadcast. I saw the quote from someone else who was watching the game on League Pass. And, yeah, they're just interviewing him and they're talking about their strategy. And, you know, I just threw this out. And he didn't name Vooch specifically, but, you know, the timeline exactly matched when we got Vooch. And, you know, we've been, you have been with all of your memes about the great rim presenter and the waiter, let me take you to your rim. You know, I've been pointing this out for a while, right? Like, they were good. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think anyone's shocked by this statement, right? Like, no one is arguing with us. We're not brilliant for pointing this out. But, you know, the book is kind of out. Like, we don't have any defense. And when Okoro was out, you know, it just completely fell apart, right? Like, at least you had a little bit of point of attack defense, and that could mitigate some of the other flaws. But now you really have nothing. And, you know, the shooting kind of, we were hotter than expected shooting-wise at the beginning of the season. That's cooled off. Our opponents were shooting way worse against us at the beginning of the season than expected, and that is, you know, flipped. So both those things have kind of regressed to the mean, and teams have kind of figured out how to attack us in a pretty efficient way, and we really have no way on the roster to adjust. And, you know, the result has been, you know, catastrophic in terms of like, you just lost like four in a row, and to three of those were to the worst teams in the league. So it's just not a lot of hope at the moment.
A lot of these key role players that were, you know, started the season probably on a high note, and Patrick Williams specifically, I'd also throw Kevin Huerter in there. Patrick Williams, you know, I've been, it's a running joke that I've had since Okoro went out. Now here's a great opportunity for Patrick Williams. Let's see how he embraces it. I think he's shooting like 20% in the last four games against some of the worst teams in the league. He's shooting, I think, 30%, maybe 30 to 35% from three. He's been awful. He's been terrible. And like, I don't even think he resembles an NBA player sometimes. He was still playing at half speed. Had a decent game, I guess, yesterday against Orlando, but the three previous ones against terrible competition, he was terrible. Kevin Huerter shooting 30%. I think might be 29% now. I know he's out with an injury, but on pretty high volume from three. He's been awful. And, you know, so these a lot of these key players that we're kind of expecting to at least bolster the bench have just fallen off a cliff. And, you know, the glass slippers, as you correctly stated, has fallen off from the three-point percentage. I highlighted, like, almost every player that was shooting the ball really well from three has kind of really just come back down to earth. It's a full-fledged, just complete system breakdown. But it all starts to me with that front court D. And Josh Giddey, as I stated on the last episode, he on the defensive end, he serves as a front court player. And for the Bulls, consistently, I brought this up. Doug, I think our best power forward defensively in the last 5 years was Thad Young. I really still believe that. Like, who was better than Thad Young defensively? How can you possibly get a team with Vucevic at the center position and not address the power forward position? What say you?
I mean, we knew they weren't going to do a whole lot this offseason. They just didn't have a lot of different things they could do based on where they were positioned. They've done a lot of things over time that have limited what they could do position-wise. They pick players that make it really hard to do things, you know, like, so like they've erred on like you take Josh Giddey as an example. And, you know, I don't know if you're still a full fledged Giddey or if you walk that back a little bit now, but yeah, but like, you know, Josh Giddey, I'm a fan too at $25 million. I'm a fan, but he's a hard player to work around and Vooch is a hard player to work around. And when you keep building your team around multiple guys that are really hard to work around that require unicorns at all the other positions, it's just really hard to then find unicorns. And that's where we're at. And they don't have a lot of resources. It's not like we had, you know, $60 million in cap room this summer to go get someone. And it's not like we had all this other stuff to, you know. So it just kind of is that way. And you have a front office whose mentality is still not to ever think really long term. You go back to the draft when we could have traded the pick we used on Noah Senge for the Pelicans' first round pick next year and their current this year. And I said, like, that's a trade we absolutely should have done. And you look at Noah Senge now and he can't even get on the court and he's a project. And, you know, I hope he'll be a good player. I liked him as a draft pick. But, you know, it's like if you're going to take a gap year on Noah Senge, why did you not just take that trade and get a much higher, better prospect next year? That wasn't going to require a gap year. And then you'd have for 4 years on a rookie deal. Plus you'd have this other extra pick, you know? So it's like, these like obvious things. Our front office is still just not really aligned on thinking more than one step in front of them. And so, you know, they've done some good things execution wise. I like what they did with Giddey's contract, you know, this summer. But then like other things, yeah, I think Ball for Okoro was, you know, it was a fine move. You know, so, but like, would I rather them traded Ball for that draft pick like you liked and just thought longer term, because Okoro is not like a long-term fixture. And, you know, anyway, yeah. And so, you know, like they still just don't think more than 3 months ahead. And that's just like been a problem with these guys and continues to be. And they don't value putting together like a roster of guys that fit well in the NBA. And I get it, because that's hard to do, right? Like, it's hard to find guys who are two-way players and do all these like things that everyone wants. It's hard to find those guys. But like, when you start your team with multiple guys that don't do that, it's really tough. And so I think that's just what it is. Like, I don't think I expected a whole lot more this offseason. Like, this was basically a season they were just supposed to punt anyway. Like, from a practical perspective, you've got all these guys coming off the cap. You've got all these short-term players. Which is another reason why that trade made so much sense. You're going to punt on the season anyway. So, you know, like, I still don't really have a lot of trust in our front office. We could love about what's going on this year. And looking it up now, I was also wrong about Josh Giddey. He's also shot well from three the last five games. So like, those guys I think have been bright spots. But, like, you know, Vooch has just become an absolute disaster defensively. And he's just not doing enough offensively to make up for it. You know, that's just the reality of the situation. Like, he has the games where he shoots well, but, you know, he's had a lot of duds shooting. And then, you know, the other games, like, he'll put up points, but he's just not doing enough defensively. And that hurts you. And then, you know, Jalen Smith being out at times, like, now it's like, well, what's your backup plan? You know, that's been hard. with Jalen Smith out. So we've also just been decimated by injuries. You know, and Zach Collins still out. So, you know, like Kobe White's calf, now he's got the other calf hurt, like not the one he injured before, but his other calf is hurt. So, you know, you've got like all these other things going on too, which is why, like, I don't think the sky is falling in the sense of like, I don't think they're going to go become a 20-win team, which, you know, in a lot of ways, I just prefer, like, God, if everyone just got hurt and then we just got a great draft pick, like I could live with that in this draft. But like, you know, I still think we're going to be this kind of mid upper 30s win team. And, you know, then you're just still going to be stuck in this no man's land. And you know, unless we get lucky. I mean, who knows? Like Dallas got the number one pick from what, like the ninth slot last year. I mean, we were in a tie with them and they won the tiebreaker and they got the number one pick. So I guess you can get that pick from anywhere now. But barring some kind of crazy luck where we move up and are able to draft like really another blue chip prospect, it's really hard to see how this is going to come together. You know, like
I was blinded
to get lucky.
I was blinded by the Okoro move. Like, I'm not going to fall for it anymore. I'm not going to be fooled again. As who once said, like, if you look at this team and this roster he had on, he had Thad Young, he had Gafford on the roster. He didn't value and evaluate those players correctly. You could say the same about Lauri Markkanen. And I don't want to go down that rat hole, but there's no doubt to me, Thad Young's been our best power forward. You have Vucevic as your center. You have to address that position with a great defender. How did he do that? In half measures every year. He handed it to the job to Patrick Williams, who's sucked for his vast majority of his career on both ends of the court. Javonte Green and Derrick Jones Jr., those are your only other answers. Those aren't long-term answers. Javonte Green's not even a true four. He's really a three with five skills. So it's just like these issues consistently year over year. So, yeah, you're right, Doug. You couldn't do a lot this year at the four, but what about the previous 4 years? You know, the roster construction on this team is so awful. You know, you basically had DeMar DeRozan playing the four. He's not good defensively, and he just doesn't seem to understand how important it is to have a good front court defender. There's a reason why the guy that has won the defensive player of the year with just a few exceptions like Marcus Smart, Michael Jordan, almost always is a center or a four. Almost always. And that's because interior defense is more important than perimeter defense. It's those are the guys that clean up the mess, and they just haven't done anything to address it. And they keep on just making mistakes after mistakes. The Patrick Williams draft pick and the re-signing of him alone should have been a fireable offense. I feel like Modest saved his job. I'm no longer sure as you are about Modest Muzelis. Like, I've seen enough. Did you see the play against the Pacers where, who was it on the team, just basically just lowered his shoulder and threw him into the fourth row? I couldn't believe it. Like, he is so far away from being a really transformational defender. He's got the ability. I understand that. But physically, he needs to fill out so much more. I'm just not sure he's an all-star. Like, everybody seemed to, or a significant portion of fan base thought there was stardom on that guy's, you know, on the agenda for Buzelis. I think, to me, relative to expectations, he's been kind of a disappointment, especially on the defensive end. What say you?
I don't know that I'm disappointed by Modest. I think he's kind of just done what I expected. You know, we talked a lot in the offseason about him not being as ready as everyone thinks he is. Like, he's got a lot of the signs. And just like we've been saying that for a while, like, people are just out over their skis on him. Like, he may never develop into the player you think he's going to be. And if he does, it's still probably going to be another year away from here. So, you know, like, in that sense, like, I think he's on pace for about what I would expect, but like, he's certainly not killing it out there, you know, like on either end, but you know, he's still showing all the stuff developing kind of like how I would think. I'm still, you know, pretty happy to have him on the roster and happy as a draft pick in that slot. Like, I'm glad we took him. I still think he has good potential. But, like, yeah, like, I don't think he's a superstar potential guy. I think he's probably a low-rung all-star potential guy. And if everything pans out perfectly, I wouldn't say, like, there's anything that limits him from being a superstar, except that it's just so rare for anyone to get to that level who's not obviously on a path there. And he's not obviously on a path there. You know, he has all of the pieces where you could see, like, I could see how this could happen. I can see how there could be a path here. He's got the athleticism. He's got the height. He's got the shooting form. He's got, like, the ball handling. But, like, none of it is at the level it needs to be a superstar, right? So it's like he needs to make really big gains across those areas. And those types of gains are unlikely for any player. And you know, he probably needs to make, you know, really good gain across. His shooting would be the biggest one that he could do. And then, like you said, he's got to add a lot of strength. He's got to get better fundamentally. I think he's got to make better defensive reads. But I think that those things, some of them are going to come naturally. Like I think the defense will come around eventually. Maybe he'll always get bullied. I don't know if he'll put on enough weight. But I think like the defensive reads and being in the right position and moving and rotating, I think that will come. So we'll see what happens, you know, but I think, you know, like if he peaked out at like a Luol Deng type of career, not that he's going to be the same player as Luol Deng, but like that type of career where maybe you make a fringe all-star in a weak class and, you know, Deng only made it because the team did really great, not because he was really worthy individually. You know, like he could have that kind of career, but like Deng was always a good player. You know, he was always a starting caliber player. He was always a guy that could fit in, you know, with kind of a lot of other players. He didn't really take anything off the table, could do a bit of everything. And so, like, I think Modest could be that type of player in a more modern-day version of that. And, yeah, we'll see.
Deng was really good really young. I think his best season, if you look up his stats, was 06-07. I think that was his, like, third season. He was phenomenal that year, and everybody thinks Thibodeau made him. He didn't make him. Deng was really good within his first three seasons, especially at 06-07.
I mean, he's never been a first-team NBA, all-NBA player.
No, first-team all-NBA rookie. I'm sorry, first-team. He was first. Well, okay.
I mean, that's not a meaningful. Like some classes, you could just be absolute crap and be first team.
Deng was good right away. That's
he was. He scored 11 points a game in his first year and 14 in his second year and 18.8 in his third year.
Okay, all right. I mean, like Modest is
averaging 13.6 now. Like
he's on a Deng trajectory, probably. Yeah, good point. Siakam, now that I recall the play. Siakam, I don't know if you saw it. Everybody go back and check it out. Watch what Siakam did to poor Modest and then just lowered him and sent him about 4 feet underneath the basket. No charge call, but it was a no call. Probably the right call. But, I mean, I think Siakam's, what, 230 probably? So, you know, that's not – he's just kind of like a tweener to me a little bit defensively now. He's not quick enough laterally to guard the threes and needs to just get stronger as a four. There's a lot of people talking. He's a three. I saw Stacey King say that. I disagree with that. He's not a three. He's a four. That's his ideal position to protect the rim, be close to the rim. Just needs to get stronger, and that will come. He's 21 years old.
Well, big picture. especially because probably his best defensive strength
is going to be help defense as a shot blocker.
Yeah.
Right.
He's quick. He's got a super quick double jump.
You know, he can get up really quick. You know, he often displays what I hope will be good verticality. Sometimes this year he's kind of had some problem with that.
But a lot of times I've seen him go up with pretty good just verticality without, you know, fouling.
It's been hit or miss, but I think he shows a lot of potential there. So I think that is where he could be really good.
And I think you're right.
That's more of a four type of trait than a three type of trait.
Yeah. Well, here's something I'm going to predict that's going to happen. I can guarantee this is going to happen. When Okoro comes back, I'm assuming he's going to come back soon. Didn't think it was that serious of an injury, but apparently it is.
Who knows with the Bulls, right? Yeah, every time someone's hurt with the Bulls, just add like a month or whatever they say.
It just feels like the way to go. So the first game he left and he didn't play, we beat the Wizards at home by 1 point in a battle. And then we lost 4 in a row. So we're 1-4 since he left. Here's what I will guarantee. When he comes back, especially when Collins comes back and those two guys are on the floor, they're going to play a ton better because you're going to have their best perimeter defender and their best interior defender. Regardless, I'm not falling for it anymore. This team isn't good enough. It's nowhere near good enough. I don't see Patrick Williams, fireable offense. I'm trying to think what other – the Vooch whole situation with Vooch to re-sign him to a third year, horrible deal, horrible contract. I mean, Vooch is a fine player, but he's probably a $10 million player now. There's no way he's going to get $20 million next year in the open market. Those two moves alone – Dale and Terry fail, you know, Patrick Williams, we can go on and on. Like, I'm no longer buying these guys, you know, I'm just out on them. And I think there needs to be a change at the front office position. What say you?
I mean, I've said there should be a change at the front office position since as long as I can remember. I mean, I don't know, who are you even asking? I said, no, I never came around on Acme. I've always thought these guys sucked. Like, there's no point that I thought they were any good. you know, even when the Bulls were playing well, I said, like, I don't know why they didn't do this trade.
Yeah. What would you do now, Doug?
That was insane.
Yeah, I agree. What would you do now, though? Don't you feel like we got to sell things off and just kind of go for a tank this year?
I mean, I've been saying that for the last 4 years. So, yeah, sure. We should have done that last year and the year before and the year before and the year before.
Who are you moving?
And you know, like,
I would trade literally anyone on this roster.
Giddy?
That was going to get me. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'd trade Giddy. Why would you trade Giddy?
Because he's signed for 4 years at $25 million and he's a 23-year-old great.
And
piece.
So that should make him super valuable on the trade market.
Oh, no, it's not. You're not going to get value for Giddy. I mean, $25 million a year.
So if your assumption is you can tell me who is going to give me great value and who's not, we could talk about that. Like any trade.
Tommy White will give you great value, I think.
Yeah, I don't think so. Why?
He's on a bargain contract. He's a
free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent next year.
I know that. Teams but he makes $12 million a year, and he's value. Much better than that.
Teams do not give up a ton of value for impending unrestricted free agents that they cannot extend ahead of time because you have no idea if you're going to be able to keep them.
Teams don't give up a lot of value for that. There's too much risk. And Coby White, I hate to tell you, this is also not that great. And he's got both of his calves hurt. I don't think you're going to get, like, great value for Coby White. Like the most valuable guy might be Ayo Dosunmu right now. But like, and so like, I'm not saying I would trade Giddy for a second rounder, but if someone came up and they're like, yeah, I'll give you 2 first-round picks for Giddy, I'd probably be like, okay.
I think Modest would, if you want to be honest, would have the most value. Obviously you're not going to probably trade him, right?
I'd trade Modest too.
If I got something good. Look, I would, but the thing is, if you're going to do all this, you can't just trade like one guy and then be like, all right, like, you got to go into full fire sale mode, be really, really bad, and then get, like, 5-6 picks. Like, you can't add a draft pick and then be like, well, job done. We added one pick. Because the odds of any singular pick you add being really good and changing things for you are not that great. The odds of, like, just like, all right, I'm going to get six extra first rounders. Then I'm going to clear up a bunch of cap space. I'm going to spend 2 years doing nothing with my cap space other than trying to collect more draft picks. And I'm going to be bad for probably 3 years. And then I'm going to see, now I'm going to have all these extra picks starting to come due. And then I'm going to see what I can do with all this stuff. Like, if you want to go through the draft, you have to do something like that. If your goal is like, well, I'm going to just try and be bad for 1 year and have one pick in the draft and I hope I get really lucky. Like, yeah, you might, but you probably won't. And then when you won't, you're in the same boat of kicking the can down the road for another year, just like you did the last 5 years.
I think the Bulls should keep Giddy and just build around Giddy. What are teams that can make trades? There's not a lot of them because a lot of teams have already sacrificed all their draft capital. So for the Bulls position, we need draft picks. It's the Thunder. Houston has, I think, still, believe it or not, has all their draft picks. Am I wrong on that? I can't remember what they gave up in the Durant trade. I didn't think it was that much. So you could still probably make something happen with them.
Houston has a fit
for Coby.
I don't think they have a lot of picks because they have the
Durant move.
They didn't lose a lot for the Durant move, but it was
What did they traded with someone else before that? That they lost like a lot of picks and some other move, and then they got a little bit back in the Durant. I don't think they have a ton of picks, and plus Houston's picks are probably not super valuable. Maybe they do have something. I don't remember. Maybe they had Phoenix's picks, though. I forget. I'd have to go look it up. Now strike everything I've said. I'm not sure. But yeah, certainly Houston is a good fit for Coby White. If
what about Sacramento? You got to look at these teams that have picks that we could trade with that have made trades in the past. And there's just not a lot of them. That's my whole point on this. Like you mentioned Josh Giddey. I mean, who's going to trade for Josh Giddey? Going to give you a lot for him. I guess you could, one of these bad teams possibly. That is a really good contract. He is a real high quality player, but as you said before, he's difficult to build around. Like, I don't know. I just don't see you getting value for any of these guys. It's just not, because they're not that great players besides Giddy. And, you know, he's a difficult fit for a lot of these teams. Maybe I'm wrong in that assessment, but I don't know, Doug. It's not a good place where we're in right now. I would move Vooch in any way that you can for any asset that you can, because he is occasionally helping you win. You know, that's a guy that you should be able to get off the roster just for the effort and getting worse.
I would say Houston's got basic.
So yeah, I was completely wrong on that. So yeah, Houston's definitely a target.
Again, though, it proves that Coby White needs to, one, play well, and two, need to be on the court and be healthy.
Well, he did play well. He was averaging like 25 points. Didn't you hear the GOAT go over his stats in the games that he played? He's got a true shooting percentage of 65%. He's been great. Not elite, but he still was producing very well, shooting again to the line at a high rate, 8 per game. I mean, maybe I'm off on that now because the last game he was pretty limited, or he was not as good as his other one.
He's played 25% of the games and he's hurt again.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a really big injury history. Well, that's not going to help.
Well, I mean, but he has to be healthy when you trade him, though, right?
You've got to prove he's okay.
And he's got two calf injuries, like soft tissue injuries that teams are really scared of right now.
Yeah.
So, like, understandably,
he's only shooting 34% from three this year.
Yeah, but four, not a lot of attempts, dude. I mean, I understand.
Not a lot of attempts, like 10 a game.
It'll be fine.
Sure, maybe. I mean, he's
only 37% for his career. Like, it's not like he's like this great shooter historically either. So either way, like, I don't think you're going to get much for Coby White. Like, I just don't. I think the contract is great now, but I don't think teams are going to be falling over themselves to get him, knowing he's an unrestricted free agent.
I bet you can get it from the Houston Rockets. I think you could get a protected first this year.
Oh great. And I probably would do that, but that's not a lot. A protected first from like Houston, who's gonna finish where? Like,
yeah, might not even be protected. You might even have to protect
what Houston right now is third in the West. I mean, that pick is like, if it landed today, spotting would be what, like 25th? Like, I don't know, like, trade Coby White for the 25th pick in the draft? Yeah, okay. Like, you think that's going to do anything for your future? Like, it's better than letting Coby White walk, and it's better than paying Coby White $40 million a year. But like, it's like, that's why I say, if you want to do these trades and you want to break things down, you have to be bolder than just like, I'm going to trade just Coby White for a late first round pick. Like, that's not enough. If you are going to pivot to a draft strategy, you have to figure out a way to get more than that. Like, you need some picks that are going to be high upside in this thing, or you need to get just a whole ton of low upside picks, and collectively they become high upside because you have so many. Like, so that's it. If you're going to go to a draft strategy, you just need to do better than that. You can't stop there. You then have to make hard choices, and even if you sell guys a little bit low, you have to plan on, like, I'm probably going to be bad for a few years and I'm going to have a ton of assets at some point, but it's going to be further into the future. And I don't think we have the stomach to do that. Like, we've kind of tried that tanking thing before and it's never worked out that well for the Bulls, but they've also never done what I've said, which is like, go get yourself a ton of extra picks. They've always just been bad with their own pick. And if they really want to do this, they've got to do it like Oklahoma City did. And they're not going to. Like, they're just not. Like, nothing about this regime says they're going to do anything like that. It's like, this whole conversation was completely worthless because you know they're not going to trade any of those guys.
Yeah, the Collier, I don't know if you read that Jamal Collier article recently about the Bulls' plan is to probably build around Modest, Coby, and Giddey. I don't think that's a terrible idea. That's why I'm kind of like 50-50. I'm fine with either option. I just don't want –
It's a great idea if you want to build a 42-win team.
Well, it depends on where Modest finishes, though.
If you make all the right other moves, that could be the start of a 42-win team, if you execute really well. Like, that doesn't even guarantee you a 42-win team. That's if you execute really well after that.
Until Okoro got hurt, we were on a pace for 44 wins. When Okoro got hurt, everything went south.
Yeah, it's all about Okoro. I think if only Okoro was here, everything would have
been. No, that's what I don't want to hear. It's like the Bulls, you heard the same thing for 3 years about Ball. Oh, he was the linchpin, you know.
Well, that really felt a lot more true about Ball than Okoro, to be fair. Like, I think if Lonzo Ball had stayed healthy, like, I think they would have added, you know, like 4 or 5 wins every year. And when you were a 39-win team, adding those wins would have got you to the actual playoffs.
But like, that would have made a really, really big difference
in terms of like a critical ceiling. It wouldn't have made us a really great team by any stretch of the imagination. But we would have probably had like 3 first round exits if Lonzo Ball had stayed healthy. I mean, like, not that that's like super exciting.
You should check out his stats again, because he really didn't have that many great years. In fact, a lot of his years weren't that good. He had like two really good years. And, you know, he obviously was playing pretty well when he went down with the Bulls. So who knows where it would have been. But he sucked the last 2 years. He's been terrible for the Cavs. He's been terrible. He was terrible for us last year.
He barely played last year. I mean, like Lonzo, after all the knee surgeries, it's a miracle he's even on the court. So like, that's, I think, a little bit different.
Story's better than the reality. All true.
Well, I mean, if he had stayed healthy, I think he would have helped a lot if he had stayed healthy. There are a lot of reasons why that's a stupid thing to even worry about, because he'd not been healthy prior to coming to the Bulls either. So that was always a risk. It definitely hit worse than you could have possibly imagined, right? Like, you wouldn't have expected with Lonzo's injury history that he misses 2.5 years. But anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter. Point is, this team is probably, again, a mid to upper 30s win team, assuming people actually come back healthy. You know, they've got so many injuries. If they stay, keep getting hurt like this, they're just screwed, right? Like, the injury thing has completely gone against us. And if that keeps happening, there's no reason they can't be a 20-win something team, like 28, 29-win team.
I think if Okoro and Collins don't come back, I think this team wins 30 games.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's how bad it is. That's how bad our defense is.
There's no reason to think those guys won't come back. It should be.
I mean, of course, Collins has also been a guy who's not historically ever stayed healthy. I mean, he had a fractured bone, so he should come back basically at 100% and not be at a re-injury risk of the same thing he went out for. Unlike Kobe with the soft tissue injury, like, those are things you often re-injure. Like, a fracture, once it heals, it's healed. But I mean, he's gotten hurt with other little things every year. So, you know, even if he comes back from that, like you have, he plays in a style where you'll be like, yeah, he's probably going to, like, you know, just sprain his ankle or do some other thing, or like jam an elbow. Like, who knows, right? Like, he's just like, something else is like still reasonably likely to happen to him, because he plays this like really aggressive Caruso like of centers type of style of just hustle in your face, high energy, high physicality thing. And like, those types of guys often struggle with injuries, right? So we'll knock on wood, hope for the best, but yeah, it's not looking so great. I love being C-Red Doug, though, while it lasted. You know, like, even if I never believed it was fun, like whatever, it might be the only two fun weeks of watching this Bulls team you have all year.
So, like,
yeah, it was great.
It's enjoyment of those 2 weeks. Yeah.
But it was all mirage as we bring in the styrofoam bus.
Yeah, I at least enjoyed those 2 weeks. That's it. So, at least yeah, we'll always have the beginning of 2025.
What a state we're in. And on that note, as we bring in the big red bus, until next time, go Bulls. Thanks, DT.
Go Bulls.
Hey, man, I got to run, buddy.